It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is 1900 UTC on December 2nd, 2021. And it's the third of 3 days this week that I'm going to the office. And it's also beer day. So, sorry I'm recording asynchronously again. Yesterday, oh boy, the S really hit the fan. So I was really glad that I'd pre-recorded because... Whew, man. Anyway, if you're going to run a production tool in their program, be sure that it's on hardware that's been made in the last 10 years or so. Just saying. That can really throw a wrench in things when everything's so out of date. Anyway. Doesn't matter. Don't need the details. Welcome. Thanks for being here. Tomorrow, I don't know. I think I might go into the office on Fridays because the team meeting on Fridays is during showtime and I don't want to record when I'm already at home. But anyway, I might be stuck recording tomorrow too. I just realized that. And as you can tell, I'm recording this in the morning. There's lots of news though, so let's break into it. We're going to start
world news.
The way we always start. That's what the world news. World. Put it in the blender. Something here. We're going to go ahead and start with the COVID stuff. Just because we missed it the last few days. And there's a lot happening in the space. First, the BBC's reporting. Trigger of rare blood clots with AstraZeneca jab have been found by scientists. They believe they found the trigger that leads to extremely rare blood clots after the Oxford AstraZeneca COVID vaccine. The team in Cardiff and the U.S. have shown in exquisite detail, not bias, but very big detail, how a protein in the blood is attracted to a key component of the vaccine. They think this kicks off a chain reaction involving the immune system that can culminate in dangerous clots. The vaccine is thought to have saved about 1 million lives from COVID. However, concerns about rare blood clots shaped how the vaccine has been used around the world, including an alternative being offered to the under-40s in the U.K. They also started a scientific detective hunt to figure out what was going on and if it could be prevented. The Cardiff team were given emergency government funding to find answers. AstraZeneca's own scientists also joined the research project after earlier results from the team were published. A spokeswoman for AstraZeneca stressed that clots were more likely to occur because of a COVID infection than the vaccine, and that the complete explanation for why they occur has not yet been established. Although the research is not definitive, it offers insights, and AstraZeneca is exploring ways to leverage these findings as part of our efforts to remove this extremely rare side effect. That can all be translated to, please, 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 we need to sell a lot more of this vaccine before we can we recoup our losses. There's a nice little infographic, but basically, the vaccine is made of COVID genetic material combined with a weaker version of the common cold virus. It is injected into the muscle, but sometimes leaks into the bloodstream. There it can attract a protein in the blood, platelet factor 4. In rare cases, the immune system confuses platelet factor 4 for the virus and releases antibodies to attack it. Antibodies clump together with platelet factor 4, triggering blood clots. So, your immune system, platelet factor 4 is the enemy today. So anyway, that's what's going on in the research department. German leaders crack down on unjab to tackle COVID surge. German leaders, including Chancellor Angela Merkel, I always say Angela, but I think it's Angela Merkel and her designated successor, Olaf Scholz, are expected to approve de facto lockdown for the unvaccinated on Thursday to combat surge in COVID cases. Merkel, Scholz, and the leaders of Germany's 16 states tightened COVID restrictions just 2 weeks ago, but are in talks again to impose even tougher measures amid a raging fourth wave of the virus. According to a draft agreement seen by AFP, the plans include a blanket ban on entering bars, restaurants, theaters, cinemas, and other leisure facilities for anyone who's not been vaccinated or recovered from COVID, a system known as 2G in Germany. The unvaccinated would also be banned from Christmas markets and non-essential shops, as well as be hit by contact restrictions limiting the number of people they can socialize with. The agreement also calls for new restrictions on large gatherings, which would affect events such as Bundesliga football matches and the closure of nightclubs in areas with a weekly incident rate above 350 infections per 100,000 people. Health Minister Jean Spahn, in a caretaker role ahead of the planned swearing-in of a new government next week, told the ZDF broadcaster that Germany needed a lockdown, so to speak, for the unvaccinated. Infections have been smashing records in Germany in recent weeks, and hospitals are sounding the alarm, with many over capacity and forced to dispatch patients elsewhere in the country for treatment. Though Germany's 7-day incident rate has fallen slightly this week, it still stood at 439.2 on Thursday, with 73,209 new cases recorded in the past 24 hours. From the point of view of intensive and emergency medicine, the pandemic situation has never been as threatening and serious as it is today, the DIVI Intensive Care Association warned on Wednesday, calling for a drastic tightening of restrictions. So it's going to be very troubling. Germany's getting really beat up. Many experts partly blame Germany's fourth wave on its relatively low vaccination rate of 68%, which is still not terrible, compared to fellow EU countries such as Spain at 79% and Portugal at 86%. Merkel's outgoing government had always ruled out mandatory vaccination, but the measure is now backed by politicians from across the spectrum. This is kind of the part that I thought was neat. And Merkel's spokesman on Wednesday said Germany was in a dramatic situation in a pandemic where new possibilities may have to be thought about. Germany already announced plans earlier this month to require health workers and soldiers to get inoculated. Expanding that to the general public would see the country follow the example of neighboring Austria, which is planning mandatory vaccines from February. Greece has announced mandatory jabs for over 60s, with unvaccinated people facing fines if they don't comply. And EU chief Ursula von der Leyen said Wednesday it was time for the bloc to think about mandatory vaccination, though she also stressed it was up to individual states to make the decision. My personal position is I think it's understandable and appropriate to lead this discussion now, she said. And this is what I thought was kind of neat, is it's kind of been that way. It's been this way the whole time, where it's like, everyone has this personal choice, but there's this collective good, and it's like, yeah, if you want a green car versus a red car, or you want to ride the bus versus drive yourself somewhere, that's okay, as long as you're going to work. And so it's kind of this thing where it's like, as long as you're helping society, and this kind of thing with COVID, it's like, you know, a lot of people seem to have thought it's like, oh, I can just choose whether or not to get the vaccine. And it's like, well, you can choose as long as the society is moving forward. But anyway, this is going to get really ugly, I think, because, yeah, people were mad about lockdowns. So requiring vaccinations is just going to get ugly fast. So anyway, look forward to seeing all the death and destruction about that. Not really, but anyway, that's what I think is going to happen. Yeah, that's how I feel. All right. Well, what else is happening? Well, lots, really. Ghana and Nigeria have detected the Omicron variant and have increased their vaccination efforts. Paris has detected a version of it. And India confirms at least two cases. This is spread out across like two or three different news stories. They're just... it's everywhere. An infographic that I saw can't really convey it over the voice, but the infographic was showing the lineage of the mutations and the alpha, beta, delta, you know, those variants. They all kind of have a clear line, and then Omicron's off by itself. So, and people were saying that they think that there are probably other variants like this that just haven't been sequenced. So we'll see how it goes. India was the latest country to report cases of the new Omicron variant, as regulators in the UK have given the green light for the use of monoclonal therapy called Sotrovimab to treat those at high risk of developing severe symptoms. The news came as South Korea's daily coronavirus case numbers rose to a new high, with authorities halting quarantine exceptions for fully vaccinated inbound travelers for 2 weeks in a bid to fend off the new variant. And meanwhile, in the U.S., fears of the impact over the new strain have risen after it reported its first case in a fully vaccinated person in California. That's right, it's here in the U.S. too. The case returned from South Africa on November 22nd and tested positive 7 days later. In South Africa, where scientists detected the Omicron variant last week, new infections doubled in a day, signaling a dramatic surge in the country. The WHO said data on how contagious Omicron is should be available within days, while the Japanese central bank warned of economic pain as countries tighten containment measures. So, Finland also has a case of it. Australia, it's just all over the place. Brazil, Canada, Sweden, Norway, Finland, Germany, UK, France, Spain, Portugal, Greece, I can't get close enough. Some of these countries Greece. All right. Sorry. The world map, there's a nice little map that highlights all the countries, but the countries in the Mediterranean and the Middle East are all so small, I can't... My mouse pointer's too big. Anyhow, so that's going on. So it's not looking too good there. COVID is blowing up everywhere. But don't worry. In the United States, Republicans are threatening government shutdown to undermine vaccine mandates. Republicans are praying to shut down the government on Friday in the latest attempt by the party to thwart White House efforts to increase vaccine take-up by undermining vaccine mandates across the country. Clamor is growing among some conservatives for Republican senators to oppose a stopgap funding bill, which would fund the government for the next few weeks, unless Democrats agree to not direct money towards enforcing a vaccine mandate for larger companies in the U.S. If the disgruntled Republicans, who reportedly include Senator Mike Lee from Utah, are successful, the government would effectively run out of money on Friday and could be forced to furlough workers and shut down some federal services. The need for vaccine mandates, which have been introduced by Joe Biden, has taken on additional importance as he uses braces for the impact of the Omicron coronavirus variant. The plot by the right comes after some Republican states have already sought to diminish mandates by expanding unemployment benefits for employees who have been fired or quit over the requirement to get the vaccine. Note, these are the same places where they were trying to alter the unemployment benefits to be stricter when everyone was getting these things. There's a lot of very blatant racism and what's the word for it? Sorry, it's early still for me, but there's some very blatantly wrong, you know, things around where it's like, no, only for me, more for me, that kind of stuff. It's very selfish, where it's like, oh, I might be affected by this, or my constituents are affected by this, and it's messing with these long-standing social, you know, the closest thing the United States has to social programs, and it sucks. On Wednesday, the House Freedom Caucus, a group of right-wing Republicans in the House of Representatives, urged their Senate colleagues to block the funding bill, unless it prohibits funding in all respects for the vaccine mandates and enforcement thereof. In a letter to Mitch McConnell, the Senate Minority Leader, the Freedom Caucus said the Democratic-dominated House was set to vote in favor of the stopgap funding bill on Wednesday. The bill then would go to the Senate, where Democrats need Republican votes to pass the bill by Friday night. That's just tomorrow. The House Freedom Caucus said the deadline gave their senator colleagues important leverage to prevent funding from mandates. The thing they're upset about is Biden introduced some vaccine mandates which require employees to be vaccinated or submit to weekly testing for federal workers and contractors in July. In September, he also ordered healthcare workers to be vaccinated and companies with 100 workers or more to require COVID-19 vaccines or testing, which the government said would cover more than 100 million employees. Those measures have been put on hold by court rulings after Republican state attorneys general, conservative groups, and trade organizations have sued to stop the regulations. So, sorry, I went a little long there, but that's all the COVID news. We've got a fun little bit here, or I thought this was fun. It's probably not. But first, a song.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
This is Lithium from Nirvana.
I'm so happy, 'cause today found my friends in my head. I'm so ugly, that's okay, 'cause so are you. Look on me as Sunday morning is every day for all I care. And I'm not scared, light my candles in our days, 'cause I found God.
Listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF, and SDF's powered by you. If you want to hang out in chat and just participate in the show, you're more than welcome to do that. All you need to do is SSH over to SDF, and SSH as new, N-E-W at SDF.org if you don't have an account yet. If you don't, wow, thanks for listening. It was really cool to get new people to Anon Radio and to SDF. Just jump on over SSH from your terminal or PuTTY program, whatever works for you. SSH over, then you're going to run com, C-O-M, press enter, and then press G for go to, and then Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, and then press enter, and that will take you to the Anon Radio room where you can hang out with cool people like X1 and Ratsu and Tobe and GTC 1977 and just all sorts of people. I'm just throwing out some names of folks that are around a lot of times. M. Stoney, hope you're kicking around. Jazzmaz, wherever you are. So anyway, that was Lithium from Nirvana, and I picked that song because, get this, there are two Lithium stories.
That's correct.
Iran is stepping up uranium and... Oh, wait, first, let's talk about uranium. Iran steps up uranium enrichment capacity despite talks to salvage the nuclear deal. They've been producing enriched uranium with more efficient advanced centrifuges, the UN watchdog said on Wednesday, further eroding the 2015 deal that they're having talks with. But let's talk lithium. First, like someone cutting off your arms and legs, Rio Tinto's lithium mine sparks anger in Serbia. Zlatko Kokanovic lies at ground zero of an idyllic stretch of western Serbia that investors hope to tunnel, quarry, and transform into Europe's biggest lithium mine. A trained veterinarian and farmer, he's not interested in the 1,000 or so long-term jobs that Anglo-Australian metals and mining giant Rio Tinto is promising. The 45-year-old father of five just wants to keep his home alongside 200 or so more neighbors in the village of Gornji Nedici near Loznica in the fertile Jajar Valley. All my property is in the mine zone, planned landfills and other infrastructure, Kokanovic tells RFERL's Balkan Service. Rio Tinto's $2.4 billion plan is to make Serbia a major global producer of the soft, silvery metal that fuels much of the world's growing fleet of electric vehicles. In 2004, local subsidiary Rio Sava discovered lithium in a new mineral that has since been named jadarite after the region. Rio Tinto still hasn't published an environmental impact study for Serbian authorities or the Serbian public to scrutinize, although it hopes to start building the mine next year and have it operational by 2026. The Jadar Mine project calls for the relocation of about 50 households in Gornji Nedici and two other villages. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Slatnia and Burzjak, with a combined population of around 1,000 people. Around 330 more plots of land need to be purchased from their owners to make room for the sprawling 250-hectare underground mining complex. I still have a house and a garden. Living in the countryside and not having land, it's like someone cutting off your arms and legs, Kokanovic says. You can't do anything. But could this and other running disputes over a handful of contentious foreign-backed ventures also take the political legs out from under Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić and his ruling party as they look ahead to a crucial trifecta of elections in just a few months? Out of desperation and along with at least 10,000 other residents allied under an association called Loznica Against Rio Tinto, Kokanovic has turned to activism to fight the project. And he's not alone. Serbian public opposition has also swirled around several Chinese-backed ventures, including a gold and silver mine that opened a month ago near Bor, a steel mill that belches red dust on the village in Radenac, and a planned tire factory accused of using slave Vietnamese labor for its construction. So, this is going to be very interesting because this isn't just happening in a far-off place. Oh, crap, I clicked something I should know. This isn't just happening, like, in the remote area of Serbia, you know. It's not like, oh, yeah, poor guys. Like putting a lithium mine on Arlington Cemetery, the fight to save sacred land in Nevada. That's right. In Nevada, the United States, believe it or not, has a lot of lithium, but guess where it is? On a windy afternoon in northern Nevada, where her family has lived for generations, Duranda Hinke stood before one of the largest lithium deposits in the world, the place where, she puts it, there's so much lithium it makes people foam at the mouth. The area is known as Peehee, and then M-U apostrophe H-U-H, so I might be saying it wrong. Probably for sure saying it wrong. Also known as Thacker Pass. And while it could be lucrative, resources for company hoping to cash in on the electric revolution, Hinke and her peers say large-scale mining operations would irreversibly damage one of her community's most sacred sites. It's like putting a lithium mine on Arlington Cemetery. It's just not fair, she said. In 1865, a massacre took place at Thacker Pass, killing at least 31 members of the Paiute tribe. Hinke's great-great-great-grandfather, Ox Sam, was one of three survivors. In addition to its historical significance, Thacker Pass also plays an important role in the everyday lives of local indigenous communities. It's the region where they harvest traditional foods, medicines, and supplies for sacred ceremonies. If you'll remember, one of the things that was bad about Line 3 and Line 5 were that they crossed through places where the indigenous peoples there collect wild rice and other things for sustenance. But, as the United States shows over and over again, mineral wealth and anybody who wants to dig up the earth or destroy something is more than welcome to, and it doesn't matter how many people they kill or children get hurt in the process or what cultural significance happens, and the genocide of the indigenous native peoples here just continues on, I guess. We haven't gotten an update on how many thousands of children were found in those residential schools. It's been a while. I'm sure they've had plenty of time to dig up a lot of bodies, but anyway, that's me getting a little grumpy. We've got about 4 minutes to go, so I'll just say that we'll just jump back into the story. Lithium Nevada, the company proposing the lithium mine, estimates that the project at Thacker Pass will produce roughly 60,000 metric tons of lithium carbonate a year once operational, increasing U.S. production of the material roughly tenfold. It would be a game changer. It's a game changer, says Tim Crowley, the vice president of government affairs and community relations at Lithium Nevada. It's absolutely essential if we're going to make America competitive and minimize the geopolitical challenges that we face in relying on other sources of lithium. So we'll just leave that there as we run through the rest of the headlines real quick. Iran has provided European powers involved in the 2015 nuclear deal two drafts on sanctions removal and nuclear commitments. Iran's top diplomat says an agreement to revive the country's nuclear deal with world powers was within reach, but that depended on the goodwill of the West. Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian said on Thursday the negotiations in the Austrian capital of Vienna were proceeding with seriousness and that the removal of sanctions was a fundamental priority. Good deal within reach if the West shows goodwill. We seek rational, sober, and result-oriented dialogue. The talks aimed at reviving the 2015 nuclear deal between Iran and several world powers, Britain, China, France, Germany, Russia, and the U.S., resumed on Monday after Iran paused them in June following the election of President Ibrahim Raisi. The U.S., which unilaterally pulled out of the deal in 2018, is only participating in the talks indirectly at Iran's insistence. Proceeding with the goal of the deal, formerly known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, is to make it practically impossible for Iran to build an atomic bomb while allowing it to pursue a civilian nuclear program. Under the pact, Tehran limited its nuclear program in exchange for relief from U.S., EU, and UN economic sanctions. So, Israel called on world powers to halt the nuclear negotiations immediately, because Israel's all about peace and not about killing all the Palestinians they can. Citing a UN Watchdog announcement that Tehran has started producing enriched uranium with more advanced centrifuges. Iran is carrying out nuclear blackmail as a negotiating tactic, and this should be answered by the immediate halt to negotiations and the implementation of tough steps by the world powers, Prime Minister Naftali Bennett's office quoted him as saying in a call to U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken on Thursday. You'll note Israel and the U.S. are neither direct parties in this discussion that's going on. The deal has come under increasing strain since then-President Donald Trump pulled the U.S. out and reimposed harsh sanctions, prompting Tehran to breach nuclear limits in the pact. In turn, Iran, which denies it wants to acquire a nuclear arsenal, has gradually abandoned its commitments since 2019. I don't know. I think Iran's being totally reasonable in all of this, and it's just insane that we keep fighting over it. The first ferry between Turkey and Libya set sail after 4 decades. For the first time in 40 years, a passenger ferry on Wednesday set sail for the Libyan port of Misrata to Turkey's Izmir province. Libya has not been serviced by any international ferries for the past 25 years. So that's pretty cool. And the Michigan school shooting suspect, he's facing charges of terrorism and first-degree murder following a rampage that left 4 dead and 7 injured. Prosecutors Wednesday charged the student. He was 15 years old as an adult. He's pleaded not guilty, and they haven't identified a motive yet. There are videos to show that he planned the attack. One such instance is a video of the suspect the night before the shooting in which he discusses killing students. This isn't even a close call, she said. This was an impulsive act. Whatever. It was absolutely premeditated. So yeah, the kid is being treated like an adult.
That sound means that our time is coming to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
All right. Well, Today's show went pretty good, I think. A little better than yesterday. And thanks for tuning in. Please enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. And press that equal sign in com if you want to see the schedule for everything coming up today. All right.
7, 6.